Hey, thanks for tuning in to the Lake Forest Church podcast. Lake Forest is in Huntersville, North Carolina. We try to be a place that's safe for people who've given up on church but not on God. Hope you enjoy this message. If you want to find out more about us, you can check us out at www.lakeforest.org. Thanks.
Living out our mission as a church, I'd like for us to read it together. You just loved people as they are discovering and learning to live out their role in God's story by praying for them. So let's put our mission statement on the screen here and read it together. This is what we are about together. All together, our unique mission, loving people as they discover and live out their role in God's story. Thank you for doing that just now in prayer for the world, for people that you know who are hurting, even for yourself, loving yourself by lifting up your own struggles with faith to your Heavenly Father. Today, we introduce something new. We've noticed there are a lot of technophiles in this church. And when I say, would you open your Bibles to Hebrews 11, that's where we're going today, by the way. Some of you pull out your phone, and you're going, bleep, bleep, bleep. And some of you are like, dude, that is so rude. Texting as soon as he gets to the Bible, man. But for many of you, that's where your scriptures is. That's where you take notes on. So we're now posting. You can get this as you come into worship each Sunday. And we're going to put it online here. You can follow along all the points that come up on the screen. You can tap into and have there on your smartphone or your iPad while we're teaching. And you can get that in Word or PDF and take notes as you go along. So there you go. I did it on my phone last night, and it works great. And it has the scriptures as well. So we're just trying that out today. And thanks to Susan Harrington for making it happen. And we're trying that out in our series. We're week three of Living by Faith. You've shown up here as an expression of faith in Jesus Christ. Or you've shown up here as a spiritual explorer saying, I would like to have faith. What could I possibly have faith? What would that mean? Right? And we take for granted sometimes this concept of faith, this idea of faith. And so we're breaking it down very directly. This is a meat and potatoes, stick to your ribs sermon series based on the book of Hebrews to help us understand now, what is faith? And today, most specifically, we're going to detail the difference between hope and faith. This is an important distinction. There's a lot of confusion about what faith is. And actually, the more unchurched you are, the more likely you... I find this when I talk to unchurched people. They're all the time channel surfing on Sunday mornings and seeing all these TV preachers. And dude, there are so many different messages about what faith is. It can be very confusing. And so if you get a false picture of faith, that leads to false expectations of God. And when God doesn't come through on your false expectations, you go, well, what's the deal with faith? What's the point, right? And you look at other people and you go, well, God seems to be blessing them more than me. Is that because they have more faith? How do I get more faith in that? Right? And another thing that's true about a lot of the faith messages that you hear is they're often very self-centered. How to get God in on my plan for my life? How to get God to behave the way I want God to behave? Which is a return to that ancient and primordial of human-based religions, which we carry around with us in our head and our mind and our heart, which is, how can I use magic, essentially, to get God to do and the world to cooperate with and other people to do what I want them to do? And we get all these things mixed up. So because there's so much confusion, I want to start off with what faith is not. Faith is not a force. Faith is sometimes presented as, well, there's a God out there, right? And I'm over here, and there's this third entity, you know, called faith, man. And if I can tap into it, if I can get my mind bent up into this thing called faith, then it's going to influence God, right? And he'll do things that he wouldn't otherwise normally do. If I can just get that force faith thing going. And so the next time my X-Wing fighter is stuck on the swamp planet of Dagobah, right? If I can just tap into this faith thing, God's going to raise my X-Wing fighter up and I can go on about my Jedi training, right? That's not a biblical definition of faith. Faith is not a force that's sort of some sort of philosophical or mystical lasso that we get around God and then pull him into doing something that we want him to do that he wouldn't have done otherwise. Faith is also not a formula. Not like a teller machine where you punch all the right buttons. Boop, 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 beep, beep, boop. And I got it. I got the code, man. I got the final missing X factor of the formula. And now God's going to do everything I want him to do. If you want to make $1 million, write a book. It doesn't matter what you say in it. I don't care what you say in it, but make the title, How to Get God to Answer All Your Prayers the Way You Want Him To. That's all. And then just write gibberish. You will make $1 million. People will buy that book because that's kind of what we want. And this thing back in our head. Write a book called How to Love God with Your Heart, Mind, Soul, and Strength. You probably will have trouble getting that published. Because if you're like me, I don't really want to love God. I want to use God. And I'm hoping that faith is the way to do that. If you just strip it down, that's where I am oftentimes in my life. And so this attitude, faith is a formula, and I can get him to cooperate with me. Another thing faith is not, it's not simply confidence. There's a difference between confidence and faith. Okay, Thursday and Friday night. Yeah, Usain Bolt. Thursday and Friday night, if you had stood outside the locker room of the Duke Blue Devils and the Ohio State Buckeyes basketball team, pregame, and as they're coming out, you go, man, do you believe you're going to win tonight? Yeah, we have faith. We're going to win. We believe. Well, guess where they're going to be this afternoon? Just like you, sitting on their couch, eating Tom's snacks, watching the Tar Heels like everybody else, right? I had to give a positive Tar Heels illustration for the sake of one of my friends. But I'll never do it for cats. Right? Every one of those players, we believe we're going to win. We have faith. Well, you know what? They're talking about confidence. Because in the English language, we interchange faith, confidence, belief. We just do. There's nothing good or bad about that. That's just how we use language. But in the Bible, faith has a very specific definition. And we get confused and disappointed in God if we mix up faith with confidence. Right? Because then you have people saying, well, Jesus said, if you have faith to move a mountain, it'll move. Okay, mountain, move. I guess I'm not confident enough. I'm not like tapping in the wind. I'll move. I'm serious, man. I'm really confident it's going to move. Right? And it doesn't. You're like, well, Jesus said, what's up with that? And then we get disappointed in God. So we find, and then we feel guilt and shame ourselves. We're like, well, what's wrong with me that I didn't have enough confidence? I guess the problem is I can't womp it up enough because we confuse them. So what is faith? As I said before, if you would turn to Hebrews chapter 11 in the Bible there in your chair, because we're going to go through the whole chapter, but I'm only going to read a few verses, and I want you to sort of see how this flows, or tap into your Android phone or whatever you have. Hebrews chapter 11 is so important to pay attention to this verse. Any definition of faith you hear that does not fit in this verse, you need to reject it. Okay? Hebrews 11, verse 1. Let's read it together. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Let's just keep that verse there. They can still see me. Faith is, see this definition. You can circle that word is if you want. Here's a definition of faith. Being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. There you have it. Now, this is interesting. Notice that he splits off hope and faith. They're two different things. Hope is this. I want something to happen. It hasn't happened. I sure hope it happens, but I'm not sure it will. Faith, on the other hand, he says, takes it a step further. Something hasn't happened. I want it to happen, and I'm sure it's going to happen. Interesting difference. If I were to call you up this afternoon, leave you a message saying, hey, can you come over for dinner Wednesday night? And I leave you a message saying that. I would say to Angie, I sure hope Tom can come over for dinner. But I'm not going out for groceries yet, right? At the end of the year, some of you hope to get a bonus this year, finally, again. It's something you want to happen. It has not happened yet. And you're not sure it's going to happen, particularly in light of the economy. And so you're watching the stock market. I wonder. The reason the spiritual life seems so complicated sometimes is we often forget there's a difference between faith and hope. And the faith isn't just to have hope. Faith is being sure of what we hope for, a confident certainty. And when I have faith, somehow my heart and my spirit and my soul is able to move out of the category of hope it'll happen, but I'm not sure, into the category of I want it to happen, I'm absolutely confident it will happen. So how do you move from the realm of hope to faith in any realm of life, not just spiritually? When can I move from I hope God's going to answer my prayer to I know God's going to answer my prayer? Well, the answer is very simple. Back to my dinner invitation to you. When should me or Angie go out for groceries? When should I start cleaning the downstairs bathroom toilet seat? Because I have teenagers in my house, right? When should I start getting ready for you to come over, right? When you call me back and say, I'm coming on Wednesday night. That's when. When you give me the promise, then I move from, I hope they come, but I'm not sure about it, to I believe they're coming. And I have confidence, certainty, and I act on that certainty and I start getting ready. The thing that bridges the gap in a relationship is your word between hope and faith. And the thing that bridges the gap in the spiritual realm is the very same thing. We are allowed to move in our relationship with God from hope to faith when God has given us a promise, a revelation, His clear, crystal clear word. That's when we move from hope to faith. The promise of God or the revelation or word from God is what bridges the gap from hope to faith. So, Hebrews 11:1 said, faith is being sure of what we hope for, certain of what we do not see. And then verse 2 goes on to say this. This, and that means faith, is what the ancients were commended for. And then the whole, if you'll just look at it, if you got your Bible open, look, the whole rest of the chapter, he talks about men and women. He gives examples of specific men and women, most of them from the Old Testament, who demonstrated this faith that is different from hope. And they lived by it. He says, for this they were commended. Now, these men and women in the rest of the chapter, they're not commended for just having prayer requests and then trying to get God to faith God into doing something for them or lasso him. And he did it. They managed to move God, right? These men and women were commended because God made them a promise. God revealed something to them clearly, and they acted on it by faith in line with that promise. Their actions, their behavior in the real world, in space and time, lined up with that promise. And that is what they were commended for. Faith is God's promise. He's going to show up. And I act on that promise toward it. Two of the people named throughout the rest of chapter 11 as examples of being commended for living by faith are Noah and Moses. How about Noah? Why did Noah go out and spend decades of his life building this big boat in the middle of a farm? Why did he do that? Was it because he said, family, let's get together and have a family huddle? Family, this world, it is horrible. It's evil. It's terrible. I think God needs to start over. So if we build a big boat and we say, Lord, here's the plan. You need to make it rain for 40 days and just flood the whole thing out and hit the reset button, right? Alt, control, delete 2 times. If we build the boat, then maybe he'll do that. That's not what happened. Who started the ball rolling? God did with his word, his promise. He said, Noah, I'm going to make you a promise. It's going to rain for 40 days. I'm going to hit alt control delete 2 times. Here it comes, because I'm a Mac, not a PC, right? And Noah became a man of faith. He acted on God's promise by building that boat. For decades, he built it. That is an example of living and acting by faith, acting on the promise of God. That's the pattern of faith. All through Hebrews 11, if you trace each of the people who are commended and you go back and do a study on them, all through the Bible, this is the pattern. You, today, it is okay to pray for a specific job. It's okay to pray, Lord, that house we've been driving by, that dream house, I pray we could have it. It's okay to pray for that. It's okay to pray for blank, fill in the blank, that internship this summer. Pray for it, right? But listen, that 4-bedroom house in the peninsula is not promised to you in God's word. It's not in there. Believe me, I've read the whole thing, right? It's just not there. Don't build your faith on a hope. It's okay to hope and ask. Knock yourself out. But don't build your faith on a mere hope that you've articulated to God. And therefore, we tend to think, well, that's my faith and it didn't come out, so I guess I don't have faith. Don't build your faith on a hope. Here's a working definition of faith. Faith is trust that God is who He says He is, that He will do what He's promised to do. This is a trust in the character of God. It's a trust in the person of God. It's a trust in the promise of God. We can have faith once God has spoken and made a promise. That's what we have faith in. Before there's a promise or a revelation, we can have hope, but not faith. Faith is always attached to a promise. It's true with a person, who's sometimes trustworthy, sometimes not. And it's true with God, who is always trustworthy. Faith is always attached to a promise. All the way through the Bible, when you see men and women commended for living by faith, it's because they've clung to a specific promise of God. They were committed, not for their prayer requests, but their willingness to believe God would do what He said He would do, and to act in that direction with their actual behavior and their choices in life. This is why living by faith includes being a student of the Bible. We say at Lake Forest that we will love like Jesus with grace and truth. And part of that is being passionate about learning God's Word, the Bible. Because we need to know God's promises before we can actually align our faith and our life and our action with them. Then it's not this great mystery. To express faith where we should only have hope is presumption. If I were to call you up, invite you over to dinner, if I do that this afternoon, just get ready for it, be waiting by the phone. If I do that, and then if before you get back to me, if tonight you're hanging out at Birkdale walking around because it's going to be so beautiful out, right? If you're walking around Birkdale and people walk up to you and they go, man, I hear you're having dinner with Mike and Angie Wednesday night. He's so excited. He told me he went out and he bought the most expensive steak he could find in all of Mecklenburg County. He's been scrubbing the floors, vacuuming. Man, they are so excited. And you're like, why does he think that? I mean, I just got the message. I hadn't like sat down and gone over the calendar and figured out the carpool schedule. And, little Johnny have a game that night. I haven't told him I'm coming. That's not faith. That's presumption of me to go buy the steak at that point. I can't have faith that you will show up until I hear back from you. And then if you say you're coming, and I know you to be a trustworthy person, I will have faith that you'll show up. And I'll get out the sponge and the toilet cleaner. Okay? You and I cannot expect God to do things He hasn't promised to do. That's presumption, not faith. And the reason sometimes you struggle with disappointment with God is the confusion of the categories of hope and faith. And it's dangerous to our faith. God hasn't promised. We put an expectation on God, though, and we get disappointed with God. And then we blame ourselves for a lack of faith. And we get lost in between those two places. Disappointed with God, disappointed in myself for not having enough faith. And then we leave the church, we leave organized religion, and we blame ourselves and God. There's a critical difference between hope and faith, and I want us to know it so that we live confidently by faith in this fallen world. Do you know what you can expect from God? Everything God has promised. That's what you can expect from God. That's why we need to know the Scriptures. He's promised you mercy, grace, forgiveness. You can expect that. Step out on it. Live by that. That's good. He has promised that Jesus is coming back. He has promised that when you serve the poor, when you represent the love of Jesus in word or deed so that others may trust Him, your life is meaningful. You are cooperating with His ultimate purposes in the cosmos. Your life is meaningful. You can trust. That's a promise. He's promised there's a hell. He's promised there is a day of judgment, which means separation when all of sin and death. A ministry partner lost a baby yesterday. Death will be gone. Sin will be separated. And Jesus will inaugurate the new heavens and the new earth where all is well. He's promised that. That's what you can expect. And that's a lot. That's faith. It's beautiful. And when you go on mission for God, there's still openings in some of our international and national mission trips for this summer. You can trust it. When you go on mission for God representing the love of Jesus, your life is linked in to ultimate meaning. That's what you can expect from God. Do you know what you can ask from God? Anything you want. Ask Him anything. He loves to know your heart and your desires. Your Father is a perfect lover who gives good gifts to His children. And many times in my life and yours, He's given us things that He hasn't promised. You got the job, or you got the raise, or you got the four-bedroom house in the peninsula. You got the boat, you know. And sometimes He just gives us things that He hasn't promised. You passed the test, right? Your illness was healed. On and on we could go. Things we've asked for that God has given us. Not because He promised them in His Word, but simply because we ask. He's a good, loving Heavenly Father who loves to give good things to His children when it fits in to the overall plan that we can't see. Let's look at a case study. Like, break this down. How does this look? Well, let's look at Jesus. Matthew chapter 9, verse 27 says this. Let's all read it together. As Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed Him, calling out, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." Okay, the Son of David. I thought He was the son of Joseph. This is a technical term for the Messiah, the Savior of the world. This means they believe that Jesus is who He says He is. He said, "I and the Father are one." He said, "No one comes to the Father but by Me." He says, "The Father gives Me all things." So this is a statement of faith. They're like, "We believe, Jesus, that You're who You say You are." Let's keep going. When He had gone indoors, the blind men came to Him and He asked them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" "Yes, Lord," they replied. Okay, let's stop there. Interesting. He didn't say, "Do you believe that I will do this, that I will heal you?" Right? He didn't say, what am I thinking in my head right now? Try to figure it out. How many fingers am I holding up behind my back? Right? Do you think I will or I won't? He didn't say that. What did He say? Do you think I am? Do you think I am? Do you think I am what? Able. That's right. They said, "Yes, we believe You're able. We hope that You will. We believe You're able." We haven't heard a promise from God that You're going to heal these specific two blind men on this day in this small Jewish village in the year 32 AD. There's no promise of that in God's Word. So we hope You will, but we believe You are able. And Jesus says, let it be done according to your faith. They're not going, "Oh, we believe, I'm claiming it, Jesus. Oh, I'm claiming it. Do you see how confidently I'm claiming that You're going to heal me? Do you see this confidence? Do you see I'm trying to tap into the force to make You heal me? I believe, I claim it." They said, "Yes." Simple thing. It's not complicated. Not jumping up and down. Simple thing. "I believe You're who You say You are, Jesus. And I believe You're able." He says, "According to your faith, it will be done to you." To assume that He would be presumption. He hadn't promised Him that. Jesus was looking for not for faith that He would, but that He could. That's how it works. So faith is confidence that God is who God says He is, focused through the person of Jesus. This is the first week of our series. Our faith is not resting our eyes on our circumstances, it's on Jesus. Faith is a certain confidence that He will do what He promised to do, because my faith is fixed on Jesus and He rose from the dead. Therefore, I'm confident He will do whatever He promises He will do. Okay, so if that's what faith is, Mike, let's take it from just the definition. Really interesting. Thank you. I took good notes. That's great. How do I live by faith? Or in the Christian world, walk by faith. That's from a New American Standard translation some years ago. How do I live by faith? Walk by faith. Well, here's how. behave as if God is who He says He is and that He will do what He promised to do. Behave, take actions in life as if God is who He says He is and He will do what He has promised to do. That's what it means to live by faith. It's to act as if God will do what He's promised. There's nothing difficult or complicated about this. It's living under the umbrella of God's faithfulness and God's promises. That's what it means to live by faith. So we learn the Bible weekly in here and in small groups. We learn the Bible on Wednesday night for students in discipleship. So that our faith isn't shaky on what does Mike say God has promised. That's shaky because I might be wrong. I learn the Bible for myself. You're learning it for yourself. What has God said that I can trust and then act on in my life? Now, there's the flip side to this faith thing. We're going to now go down to the end of chapter 11. After going through the hall of faith, all these beautiful people who were commended for living according to the promise of God, here's the surprise ending. Chapter 11, verse 36 through 39. Let's read this together. This is really fun. Here's your future for you if you live by faith. Okay, I just want to pump you up today. Let's all together. Some face jeers and flogging. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. That was Jeremiah. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. I want you to circle that word promise at the end of chapter 11. This is the definition of faith. You're like, wait. God, they live by faith. There's supposed to be a happy ending. I mean, that's what all the books on faith say. Like, if I look up the bestsellers about faith on Amazon.com, it's a happy ending. It's a book full of stories of happy endings. What? What's wrong here with this picture, God? Nothing was wrong. God would say, I want you to deal with reality in a fallen world. Don't be walking around in some pretend state of mind. I have a plan, God would say. And as long as I can answer your prayers in the context of my plan and not abrogate the free will of other people, I can't wait to give you many good things. But I've got an eternal cosmic plan and I will not detour from my plan. And I'm looking for men and women and boys and girls and students, teenagers, who will live in accordance with my plan, linking their life into the ultimate meaning in this world. I'm looking for men and women who will take me at my word, will step out on it, and surrender their lives even to serve others in the name of Jesus. And sometimes it will have an apparently happy ending in this life, and sometimes it won't, Hebrews 11 tells us. Sometimes you'll understand and you'll receive the result of the promise now and in this life. Sometimes it won't be till the next life. But God would say, that's not a reflection on my character, because I am who I said I am, and I am faithful to all of my promises. Count on it as you look back at Jesus and His resurrection, which is where our series is focused. And on Easter, we will celebrate the anchor, the firm anchor for our faith is in the work of Jesus on the cross and His resurrection from the grave. That is the reflection ultimately of my character, and you can trust my plan and step out on my promises. So, I just thought I'd end with a real motivational comment. Faith does not always have a happy ending circumstantially. That's why the first week we said our faith is not based on our circumstances, it's based on the person of Jesus. Some of you are beating yourself up about bad things happening to you. It may just be because we live in a fallen world. It may be because of your faith. Bad things may be happening in your family because you have stepped out in faith. And we say, God, where are you? And God says, I haven't gone anywhere. I'm right here. This is what's supposed to happen. You're a person of faith. Are you coming to be a person of faith? And you can do that today just by that simple yes that those guys said. Yes to Jesus as the foundation of your faith. You can do that right now. You can do it at one of our prayer stations here and here at the end of the service. There are people to just pray with you about anything. including that. There are stages when your life, faith in your life will have a happy ending, stages when it won't. But the issue, God would say, is I am who I am. And I'm always going to keep my promises to you. And I will always be about accomplishing my grand purpose where this is all headed. Count on it because of the resurrection of Jesus. Fix your eyes on the person of Jesus, the author, the beginner, and the ender of your faith. And you will live by faith. Living by faith is not about getting God in on my deal. It's about discovering what God is all about, what glorifies God, and what God is going to do. Discovering the promises of God, and then bringing my entire life into alignment with what God is ultimately going to do. That's faith. So the best thing I can do is to quit focusing my faith around trying to pray God into my plans. Best thing I can do for my faith is say, God, what are you up to? And learn it from His Word. What are you up to? And then I want to bring God in on my finances, my marriage, my relationships, my parenting, my service to the poor, my public responsibilities, my morals. I want to bring that all into alignment with what God is ultimately going to do, what His character is, and what Jesus has said. Because He is going to do it. And this is the way for our lives to count and be linked into our little short story, into the grand story that is being written for the glory of God and the good of people. Okay, so Mike, faith is stepping out on acting according to the promises of God. Okay, well, I get that with Noah. God promised, it's going to rain, build a boat. Got it. I get that with Moses. God promised, Moses, I want you to go get my people from out of slavery in Egypt, and I'm going to do that. Okay, I get what they were promised. What have I been promised that I can step out on? That's our next 2 weeks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, friends, I want to give you just a moment. You just need to take a moment here. Especially, I want you to search your heart and where you've been mad with God. Some of us in this room have been disappointed in God. We've even been angry at Him. And there's plenty of examples of that in Scripture. It's okay. But take it to Him. What are you doing with that anger and disappointment? Would you just tell Him, if this is you, Lord, I've been mad at you. Lord, I've been disappointed. Will you come clean with it? Just go ahead and do that. And then will you confess to Him where you've been confusing hope with faith? Lord, forgive me. Forgive us for putting false expectations on you and mixing up faith with hope. Lord, I reset my faith today on your character, on your promises. I believe you are able to do what you say you will do. And I will focus that confidence through the prism of Jesus, your Son, risen from the dead because of love, who said, I did not come into the world to condemn it, but to save it. So we focus our faith on Him. Lord, help us this week to step out and align all of our lives, our actions and behaviors with your promises and your will. We thank you for the gift of your word. We pray all this in Jesus' name.